So klingt Weihnachten bei Rewe. Jetzt festlich sparen bei deinem Weihnachtseinkauf. Diese Woche bei Rewe Ferrero Rocher je 200 Gramm Packung nur 2,99 Euro. Außerdem Mionetto Prosecco Spumante Doc je 0,75 Liter Flasche nur 5,99 Euro. Festlich sparen bei Rewe. Dein Markt.
Everybody want to know what I would do if I didn't win. I guess we'll never know.
So keep your love. I don't get enough of it. Jesus just rose again.
Listen to the kids.
Welcome to Watching the Throne,
a lyrical analysis of Kanye West.
My name is Chris Lambert.
And my name is Travis Bean, and this is like kind of an advent calendar episode, kind of not. We don't have a treat for today or anything, at least a physical treat that I can hold here in my hand and put in my mouth, but instead a visual treat that I got to experience last night.
Yeah, you're a lucky son of a gun, I think is the appropriate phrase for it, and live in Chicago. So mm-hmm. with Kanye's Jesus is King experience happening in Chicago, it only made sense that you were there.
Yeah. I mean, I had to get there first, though. That's part of the process with any Kanye anything Kanye related. You know, the tickets went on sale at a random time. There was no announcement about it or anything, like where it was going to be. It was all kind of like, I found out about it kind of word of mouth from somebody who might have had information, but was still kind of guessing. And I knew what time to go look for tickets. I knew where to go, and I was in the right spot at the right time, able to nab some tickets. It was tough. There were like a bunch of people in front of me online on Ticketmaster, but I got them. And yeah, at around like, I think 5 o'clock, I knew that I'd be seeing Kanye later that night.
What place were you in line when Ticketmaster loaded up?
It's so obviously I had a friend who was looking for tickets, and Chris was looking for tickets too. And then I had Ticketmaster loaded up on my phone, and then Lauren, my wife, had it as well. So four avenues to get tickets. When I uploaded it on my phone, and I logged in way before Lauren, I was there were like 2,000 plus people in front of me. It just said 2,000 plus, which God knows how many people that actually is. And I was like, and I think the auditorium theater, is that what it's called?
Yeah, Auditorium Shores.
It's the people know it as like the Roosevelt Theater around here. It only houses a few thousand people, so like 2,000 plus, like that's not super promising. And I think the same situation happened with you, right?
I was at like 1,400.
Oh, okay. And
so, what?
I know. And then when Lauren got on, though, she only had like 170 people in front of her.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I don't know how that happened because I logged on like way before her. I think Kanye's trolling me constantly, but it worked. Lauren got him, and a lot of people didn't, including Matt, although he ended up making it into the show. So yeah, and that's how we got into the show, and got the tickets around like 5 and had like a few hours to kill. Weren't sure like how early to get there because we knew like the line was insane in Detroit.
Yeah, the time you texted me that you got there stressed me out. Because it was what, like the show was supposed to start at 9 and you texted that you were there at like 8:30.
Yeah. I think it's tough because like I love Kanye with the passion of a thousand suns, but it was also the night before Lauren and I's anniversary. We were with her family. I wasn't going to like make us go stand in line for like 5 hours. And I was just kind of okay with getting there when we got there. I knew we'd get in, and I knew the show would start late, which it did. So I wasn't too stressed about it. But it was a little daunting when we got there because I went up to the front, and I saw a big, giant line going out the front, coming from the front door. And I was like, oh, man. And I started to walk that way, and then I came back and talked to the the guy, the security guard who was manning the front. And I was like, hey, like, if I already have a ticket, like, do I get in this line or do I get to go in? And the guy was like, oh, you can go in. And I was like, oh, great. And I started to, and he was like, oh, wait a second. And he like brings over a guy, and the guy looks at me and he's like, oh, no, you got to get in the line. And I was like, oh, okay. And he's like, but you don't want to go that way. You, because the line wraps all the way around the building, it'll be quicker for you to just go this way. And lo and behold, I just turned the corner and going the other direction, and the line is like wrapped all the way around.
Holy fuck. Okay.
So, yeah, it got in line and was in line. And again, pretty typical for a Kanye show. It started like an hour late. So, was in line for still a while, even though I got there at the last minute.
Did everybody that was in line get in? Like, those were all the ticket holders?
Yeah, if you had a ticket, except if you were the girl who was standing directly in front of me, who decided to stand in line for a really long time. And then when she got to the front, she just pointed at a guy in there and was like, oh, he can vouch for me. And the woman was like, what? She's like, I don't have a ticket, but he can vouch for me. And the woman's just like, I can't let you in. And the girl just like, she didn't even try that hard. She just walked to me and was like, oh, okay.
That's an interesting strategy.
Yeah, you got to have something better than that.
He can vouch for me.
Just what? Point at some random person.
Okay. So, was the line experience anything special, not special? I mean, you're surrounded by Kanye fans, like...
Kind of. To be honest, it was kind of miserable because... We didn't realize that, like, once we had left for the day, and we left pretty early in the day because we had errands to run, and then we had to go to our parents and all that, we didn't realize we would be gone for the rest of the day. So we weren't, like, properly dressed. It was really nice out during the day, and then at night it was cold and windy. And I was not fashionably dressed for a Kanye West experience, which I felt really bad about. It was like literally envisioning scenarios in my head of like, what if I meet him? Like, how do I explain like the way I'm dressed? But the line experience was okay. We're not Chris Lambert, so we don't talk to everyone around us or anything. I was mostly checking baseball scores and stressing about the Cardinals blowing their giant lead at the Central Division in the final days of the season. So that was mostly happening.
Okay. That's, sounds like a simple line experience.
Yeah. But once it got moving, it was pretty exciting. People were like hooting and hollering, and we got through the line in like 20 minutes probably.
Awesome. And you step into the theater. Had you ever been to the Roosevelt before?
I had not. It's a cool place.
It had the same kind of historic setting that the Detroit one had.
Yeah, probably. It's pretty old, and it looks like, you know, the kind of theater where plays were performed in, like, the fucking 1700s or some shit.
Okay.
Except probably not, because this is America.
So, were people in seats, or was everybody just, like, standing the whole time?
So, you get in, and first of all, they confiscate your phones. I was wondering how they were going to do it, but they have this little pouch they put them in, basically, and they seal it up, and you can't access your phone or anything. So that's how they stop people from taking pictures and shit. Although this guy next to me during the show managed to get it out. He must have, like, cut it open or something. And security guard came up to him and was just like, what are you doing? He's like, I have to take your phone now. Like, idiot. But, yeah, so we dropped the phones off, and then... You don't really know where to go at the beginning. Like, there are floor seats right there, but they're completely filled up from the people who just came in. The floor seats are filled up, but in front of those people in the floor seats, there's like another floor section with only like a few people in them, like scattered people in those seats. Like, it must be VIP or something. So you see that, you're like, okay, can't go that way. So you start going upstairs. And we kept going upstairs like over and over. Like, every time we got to the top of the stairs, someone would be like, keep going up. And even some floors where all the seats were open, we weren't allowed to go in that section. I don't know why. So we just kept going up until I think we were in the like second highest level. There was one more level above us. and then we were allowed to go in there. So everybody was like scrambling for seats. It was actually kind of a shit show and sort of scary because we were like right at the edge of the balcony and like anything can happen. You know, Kanye fans are crazy. We nabbed a couple seats though, like I think in the second row. So we could still see everything down there. We could see the balcony seats, and we could see the balcony seats where Kanye would eventually come out to talk to everyone. And then at some point, you know, there's nothing going on. And then you just hear Saint talking. I think it was Saint. I wasn't sure if it was Saint or North.
Saint.
It seemed more like Saint, which kind of surprised me. Like I hadn't thought about it, but like, I still picture Saint as like a tiny, teeny, weeny baby. And I was like, oh wait, he can talk.
Saint's becoming like a person.
Yeah, I know. Like I get North at this point, like I'm used to it, but like, I guess I don't see Saint as often to know that like he can speak sentences now. So, and Saint comes on and is like, I'm excited for my dad, you know, all this cute shit. And everybody's cheering, even though like you can't really understand what he's saying because the sound was really messed up. Everybody was just still cheering at everything he said. So, you know, everyone's hyped. And then, lo and behold, Kanye comes out and he starts talking.
What's he saying?
He's just, you know, he's actually very kind of straightforward. He's like, hey, like, happy to be here in my hometown. And he just, like, literally is like, he's like, we're going to start by, like, watching a movie and then we're going to listen to the album. He's, like, just being very matter of fact, actually. So we started with this documentary of the domes he was building. And it was just him like talking with all the people he was collaborating with on it, what his vision was for it and how he's hoping to build these communities. It was like a very straightforward documentary still though, with like these gorgeous shots. Like, of course, this random little documentary Kanye made like has like these amazing cinematic shots. And it was still, I mean, it was a lot of the stuff like we already knew, but it was cool to hear him actually like, talking about it. Cause I don't know how often that's happened, that actually being in like the blueprinting process and him like expressing his vision for everything and how he wants to build these communities and build these spaces for people where they can come together for church and school. And obviously going beyond the houses themselves, it's all very reflective of Kanye's own journey of becoming more comfortable with himself and his environment and his space and controlling everything around him. But to see it in this sort of like a work-like manner, like him sitting down at Blueprints with people and like discussing it, and I don't know, it was kind of cool.
What was it like the whole documentary, like 0% to 100% of the way through, or were you seeing kind of like the first 25 minutes or something like that?
It was really short. I think we saw the whole thing. Okay. It was only like 10 minutes long, I think.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Unless there's more, but it seemed like the whole thing.
That'll be interesting. And that's supposed to go up somewhere, right? Like HBO or IMAX or...
Oh, no. We'll get to the IMAX experience.
Okay, so IMAX is something else. I thought I saw somewhere that the architecture doc was going to be released somewhere at some point.
I guess it could, but it really is. It's very simple.
Okay. It sounds awesome, though.
I mean, they could throw it up on YouTube, probably.
Please. Please. Okay. So you get to experience that. And what happens when that ends?
It ends, and then Kanye just... Oh, okay, this is a great part. So then Kanye just says, like, again, very matter-of-fact, like, all right, Rick, we're going to listen to the album. He talks a little bit about the album, and, like, he's being very broad. Like, this is... You know, it's called Jesus is King. Like, it's about my, you know, reconnection with God, like kind of just laying down like the seeds and everything. And then he's like, all right, and here's song one. And he starts playing it, you know, and it's like, and it's just a choir at the beginning. And then he stops it almost immediately. And he looks up at us in the balcony and he's like, hey, you want to come down and fill in these seats? He's like, you guys should just come down here. And then, of course, just like mad scramble. And I'm all the way in the front. So it kind of sucks. Like, if I had been in the back, I could have gotten an awesome seat. But we started running up and like being very cautious because you're going up steps and you're going down steps. And I don't know. I accidentally kneed a girl in the ass when she like bent over for something. I almost knocked her over. I was like, fuck, I'm so sorry. Like, I'm trying not to just die right now. but then we got in, and then once we got up to the new balcony, we could move around a lot. Like, there were a lot of seats, and we moved over to the right, or right above Kanye. And we kind of realized at one point we had moved too far to the right, and we were like, we were literally above Kanye, and we couldn't see him anymore.
No.
We were like, shit. So we had to, like, we circled all the way around and, like, went back into the hallway and out the other side and got on the other side. And we actually ended up getting a pretty good view of him.
Nice.
But we decided not to sit in a seat and just, like, post up somewhere, which no one had been doing. And then all of a sudden everybody started doing it. So I guess I'm a trendsetter or something. And yeah, at that point it was just Kanye. Like, he would just announce each song, like, who is featured in it, and play the album. And yeah, I don't even know where we go from here. I will say, I will preface this entire thing before we get into like the music and everything Kanye was saying by saying that, like, the sound was really bad. Like, I guess maybe bad isn't the right word. Like, maybe it wasn't an optimal setup or situation, but most of the time I couldn't really tell what Kanye was saying. A large part of that was due to, like, it was so loud in there and the acoustics were probably weird, and it was really hard to hear the lyrics of the songs. Like, I could mostly hear the music and it was cool, but you could tell a lot of the songs are unfinished. You can't really hear the lyrics. You can't hear Kanye setting up the song and saying who's featured in the song. So, like, I was doing a lot of guesswork along the way.
Okay. So yeah, that was one of the reports out of Detroit too, was that the music was so loud and the setup wasn't the best sound quality, to where a lot of the details of the music didn't really come through, or a lot of the lyrics weren't necessarily as audible all the time.
Yeah. I mean, I will say that I could mostly catch the gist of what Kanye was saying. Like, it is a lot of religious talk. Like, pretty much every song is focused on religion, and which isn't, like, that surprising. Like, Kanye's albums are usually pretty focused. But this was focused in a different way, like really adopting such specific imagery in a theme. Like, I don't know, it felt kind of different in that way, that it was like, oh, this is truly a gospel album. Like, he called The Life of Pablo a gospel album, but it was like something that transcended the gospel album. Like, this is specifically a gospel album.
Nice.
Yeah. And then the music itself, it's... this is the part where I don't want to be too hyperbolic, because again, I couldn't hear it fully, and you never want to say anything that's like, that'll come back to bite you in the ass. Like, maybe everyone will hate it. But I got to say that it truly felt like the next step of his artistic evolution, like of him as a producer, as a performer, as an artist. It was a kind of music that I don't think he's done before, where it really adopts a sound and an aesthetic and an environment, and is just enraptured in that. It made me realize that even an album like My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy or Yeezus, which are these kind of transcended experiences that are this new kind of music and something, you know, you've never heard before, even those albums have like songs, you know, songs like verse, chorus, verse, like beginning, middle, end. Like, you can, some of the songs are postmodern and go to weird places like Blame Game and shit, but for the most part you're listening to something very constructed with multiple parts. I would say a lot of the songs that I was hearing in Jesus Is King like picked a mood and aesthetic and really stuck with it. And it kind of felt like a film score as opposed to like a song you'd hear on the radio. And Kanye was just kind of existing within it. You know, it was a lot of, and the sounds were all over the place. Like, some of them were very heavenly and open and majestic. Sometimes it was brooding, but it always had that kind of ethereal feel of like a gospel sound. And Kanye was just like, he really was just maneuvering within all of it. He had these like, he would have really long bars like he hasn't had in a while. Like, Ye didn't really have like bars, you know. I can only, it made me think of like a Fourth Dimension and Reborn, where Sans, where he actually had like these long verses where he was rapping, and he had a lot of that on Jesus Is King. And so, yeah, it was, again, kind of hard to describe what it was because I couldn't hear it fully, but that was the gist I got from it. And it, some of the songs were just fucking, like, even not being able to fully hear it, like, you could sense it, like, okay, this is something, like, next level.
Like, how many do you feel were on the level of Ultralight Beam?
It's on the level of Ultralight Beam. I would say there are definitely a few. It kind of reminded me of The Life of Pablo in the sense that some of the songs are more album tracks. Like really short songs that kind of fill out the album and are probably part of some sort of narrative or some bigger whole, but kind of just fit into that, like, a piece in the puzzle as opposed to like one song that's like Runaway-esque or Ultralight Beam-esque. I would say probably three of the songs are Ultralight Beam-ish though.
Jeez. Any more epic than Ultralight Beam?
Okay. So I got to say that I'm not sure which song this was. I was looking at the track list, and I honestly couldn't tell which one it was. I thought maybe it was Sunday. There was a song in the middle of what he was playing where they repeat Alleluia, like, over and over. There's this choir going. And that one felt like... So, like, you know, a lot of the songs, like I'm saying, like, are kind of mood music and just like album tracks, and everyone's fucking loving it in there, but the crowd is just kind of like bopping to a lot of the songs. When this song played, where they're saying Alleluia over and over, like, you could just tell the tenor in the room changed. Like, people were freaking out. It was a song that had like 15 parts and moved all over the place, and like, it was, I don't know, that song was like so epic that I, like, in the moment when I was experiencing it, I was like, oh shit, like, this is truly the next Runaway for Kanye.
Eek. Okay. That degree.
Yeah. Again, could be being hyperbolic. That could bite me in the ass. But, like, that's how it felt in the moment.
I feel like every Kanye album tends to have at least one song that's that level, right? So.
Right. And everyone is saying that about Salah, which is the last track on the album, supposedly, that has clips on it and Kenny G and everything. And that song was incredible. And before that, he introduced that song, he said, this is the best song on the album. And he played that song. And even that song, which is like crazy, and like everyone's saying it's the best, like, you know, like, that's just another one. Like, that's another Ghost Town or Ultralight Beam that's on this album. It's, I don't know. It's really hard for me to describe what that was like and what the album will sound like. Like, can this album actually have that many like epic tracks? But it did have like three of them.
Einsteigen, aufdrehen, losfahren. Mit dem neuen Volkswagen T-Roc bist du bereit für den großen Auftritt. Selbstbewusst und voller Power. Du steigst ein? Keine Kompromisse. Nur du und der Moment. Alles passt. Dein Sound, dein Drive, dein T-Roc. Rockt. Der neue T-Roc.
I'm so excited. So yeah. You're losing your mind. What was the, how was it kind of, I guess, what surprised you about like the atmosphere or the reaction or the response from the crowd, or what interested you the most?
It's interesting because, you know, being a Kanye fan is such touchy territory because so many people like Kanye for so many different reasons, and people go in and out of phases with him and like things that he does, doesn't like things that he does. I would imagine even a lot of people in the crowd are not like thrilled about Kanye supporting Trump and maybe didn't like Ye, and but at the end of the day, still Kanye fans. You know, it's hard to gauge like what fans are in the room, but I got to say, like, everybody seemed really into it and was cheering every time he talked. When he was talking about, you know, he gave a speech before he played his movie and was saying that, you know, Christians tell me to act this way, society tells me to act this way, and like, I'm not going to do that, you can't put me in a box, and like, everyone's freaking out about that. And that's, you know, that's the language he used for like Trump and shit, and everybody seems into it. So like, in general, people were just on board, and like, I think, just happy to see Kanye in the state he's in. Because you hear, you know, you read all the headlines, you hear all the rumors, you read all the pundit takes about Kanye, and it, you can get really pulled in by that. You know, you can get pulled in by the hellscape of Twitter and how, you know, anybody can have an opinion that's 160 characters, and like, it, you know, and you start to wonder, like, oh, like, is it true? Like, or is Kanye losing his way with people? But then you get there and like, none of it matters. Like, Kanye seems like he's such a good place and is expressing his ideas like very clearly and seems healthy and is excited about his music. And that's just infectious. Like, you can't fake that. And everybody in the room senses it. So I think any of the uglier things you don't like about Kanye, like, kind of get washed away in that moment. And you remember why you like Kanye, and you just kind of get enveloped by the music.
Sounds beautiful.
Yeah. And the speech he gave, a lot of people have been tweeting about this. And again, it was kind of hard to hear him, although it was easier to hear him here because everybody like shut the fuck up because they wanted to hear Kanye talk. But he gave a big speech before he played his movie about just why he made the album and how he needed to be reconnected with God and how he went through like a tough time in his life. He talked very openly that when his mom died, you know, he lost his way, which is what a lot of people say about him. That he became somebody he wasn't. He was no longer the young, vibrant Kanye West ready to conquer the world. He was kind of somebody who indulged in celebrity and the uglier aspects of stardom, and wasn't carrying out his fame in a meaningful way a lot of the times, and was instead just kind of obsessed with ego and power and all that, which was interesting to hear him openly say that. I feel like we've always seen him express that artistically in his albums. You know, we talk about on Yeezus how he's not meant to be a good figure on that album. Like, he's an asshole who alienates himself, pushes everybody away. And yeah, sure, he's super powerful and a major celebrity, but it all came at a cost. He lost everybody in his life and pushed everything away, and nothing was fulfilling anymore. I feel like that's what basically Kanye was describing in that moment. And it's interesting to hear him say, like, back in 2013, he regretted calling himself Yeezus. He regretted having that ego. I just think it's interesting because we know on the album that he's exploring the ugly aspects of that ego and how it can ruin you. Because, again, the character on that album goes through hell. You know, he's alone and miserable. It's not like he's describing somebody who's living a great life. Yet Kanye is describing that he knew he was that way back then. It almost felt like Yeezus then becomes Kanye's artistic way of expressing that he knows he's going through a tough time. He knows he's indulging in something ugly. He knows he needs to act better. But he's going to use this album to show, like, to allow himself to go to that place and for him to explore those ugly areas so he can later wash them away. And that's what it feels like is happening now. Like, he feels like somebody who's ready to move past the empty aspects of celebrity, you know, the stuff that wasn't as fulfilling earlier in his career, to push it all aside and get back to the core of everything, get back to, you know, the Jesus walks Kanye, the person who was inspired by God to create this massive change. Like, it's just interesting because you would think Kanye knew that the whole time. Like, even when he made Yeezus, he was thinking, like, well, this is ridiculous. I shouldn't be acting this way. Yet, like, it sounds like Kanye is basically saying, like, he kind of did act that way, though. Like, there's a lot of meaningful stuff on Yeezus, and it's a very nuanced album, and I think Kanye is exploring a lot. But ultimately, I think Kanye is saying, like, I let the ego get the best of me, and I need to wash the ego away now and get back to a better place.
I think with art, it's always fascinating how much is confessional and how much is... Kanye clearly had to understand the content of Yeezus and the character's journey on the album to write that kind of album. Right. That has that continuity to it, right?
Right.
And it's obviously autobiographical to a certain degree, but that doesn't mean that he is a master of those behaviors at that point. Like, right. You can realize you have a bad habit and you can imagine yourself moving beyond it and put it into this artistic vision, but that doesn't mean that that necessarily reflects your day-to-day life or that you've mastered it in your day-to-day life, which right. is why he could have an album that's so self-aware and so confessional and still later regret that experience, right? Because the album's yeah. still coming out of a real place of real emotions and real behavior.
Yeah. Then he played Salah. He got to hear clips, which is like fucking dope.
Yeah, that's going to be a highlight for everybody. Like, what a surprise, too, to have like the Clips reunion.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. And then he was like, and then again, it happened again where I couldn't really understand what he was saying. But then he brought up the movie. And I didn't realize, I was like you, I didn't realize there was going to be like a movie at the end. I kind of thought the architecture thing I saw was it. And then he pulled it up and it was 37 minutes long. I was like, oh, like, what is this? And he had the timer on the video was set to like 11 minutes. So I thought he was going to show us like a clip from something. And he started playing it. And then he stopped it. He's like, oh, do you guys want to watch it from the beginning? And everyone was like, yeah. And he's like, and then he started joking with the crowd. He's like, I don't know if I should. And he like was, he's like, should I? And he's like, should I drag it? And he was dragging the cursor over to like zero and then brought it back. And he's like, no, I'm just kidding. I'll play it. And then he played the whole movie. And
that's the IMAX one.
Yes, that's the IMAX movie. It's just called Jesus is King. And for the most part, before I talk about the beginning of the movie, the whole movie itself is just kind of, it's weird. It's not really like a movie. You know, you think of Runaway and you think of like, oh, it's a movie with like act one, act two, act three, two main characters, like go. Okay, it's a movie. This was more, it was kind of experimental. Like it was just shots of things. What's the circular shot he was using for the Sunday service at Coachella? What were they calling it?
That like fisheye lens?
The fisheye, yeah. The whole movie was mostly that. It was like you would just have a fisheye lens on a gospel choir singing for like 3 minutes. Or you'd have a fisheye lens on a deer running through a field. And the whole time, gospel music was played in the background from the Sunday service. But the way the movie started, though, was it was a circular shot on just like a blank area. Or maybe it was like a light or something. And the camera started to go up. And there was this aerial pan moving upwards for like a few minutes. It was super rad. And it goes up, and then it reveals like those crater things Kanye was creating, where he would have the Sunday service at first. I don't know what happened to those, but it kept going up from that. And as the camera kept going up, like it suddenly started spinning around the crater. And it was just so like, you know, this is Kanye to the max. Like he's adores film and has a bunch of influences that are filmmakers. And obviously he is setting up some kind of, I don't know. It felt like to me, I wrote about it on forums. It felt like to me, 2001: A Space Odyssey, where the beginning, once you move past, you know, the apes and everything, and you go into space, there are these very, there's a shot of the moon, and then it rises up and you see like the earth, and then it rises up, you see the sun in the background, and it's very circular. And I was immediately like, shit, like is Kanye like directly recalling 2001? And it just had that feel. Like when everyone sees it, you'll understand what I'm saying, but it very much had that feel and even had like the tone of it, you know, the music that plays at the beginning of 2001. It kind of had like sonically and, you know, the score and everything, like it felt like that. And to have such that kind of opening is directly juxtaposed with like the gospel choir. So you have like something very filmic and then something very in the moment and choir-like. I think it called attention to the fact that he was separating the very beginning from the rest of the film and kind of highlighting, like, you know, that fisheye lens, that circle, and what it represents and how it, and I guess what it represents to Kanye, you know, why he even used it for Coachella. It represents like the space he's created and how he's going to use this space, this crater, you know, this gospel choir, to artistically explore these places he's always wanted to go with his music, and now he's there with it.
Sounds like, I keep wanting to use the word beautiful over and over again, but there seems like a kind of a haunting quality about it in like a glorious way. Like, you get that mix of, what's the word when something's like truly awe-inspiring?
Like transcendent?
No, sublime.
Sublime, sure.
Something sublime about it. Because that space, the crater, the Terrell crater, is something that Terrell's been working on for decades and something that Kanye's started funding the work of. Okay. I remember for his birthday, they talked about there being, it was rumored, nobody was confirming it, that he had filmed a special Sunday service in the Terrell crater. And I think it was the Alex Vervoot. I'm saying that wrong.
Yeah.
But he was in the architecture documentary, right?
Yeah, so was James Terrell.
Okay. So apparently Alex Instagrammed footage from inside the crater and then quickly took it down. But that was the first inkling that people had of what ended up being this movie, which is kind of cool just to think that... I don't know. We heard about this a few months ago and now getting to kind of put the pieces together, see what the final product is.
Yeah, agreed. And two, just like beyond that, like Kanye's involvement in it and knowing Kanye and what his journey's been. I wrote about it on the Forbes article, so I don't want to repeat too much, but I think very much 2001, A Space Odyssey explores these sort of religious and metaphysical questions about your place in the universe. Like, even though we're progressing as mankind, like, what does any of that mean if, like, we're just part of a bigger whole? Like, there are millions of galaxies out there, and if there is a god, like, it almost, you just start to wonder, like, what's the point of progressing? Like, what are we building towards? And as you look for fulfillment and meaning in your life, you know, these are natural questions that come up. And I just can't help but think, like, Kanye's recalling those same questions with this. And, you know, what does his existence on this earth mean? And what does it mean to get inside of one of these craters or start a Sunday service choir and get back to like your roots and get back to your connection with God and how you find it? Like, you're always progressing and always getting better. And I just think the movie ends up being some insight into that. Like, kind of being very open and vulnerable and giving this sort of cinematic lens into that process.
Yeah, and there's something, how did I want to phrase that? There's something about, we know that Kanye in the Letterman conversation talked about how light and color have become ways of healing for him and ways of treatment, especially as he wasn't liking how he felt or who he was when he was medicated in his treatment for his bipolar diagnosis. So what else was available to him? And he's found that light and color are two things, as with nature, are things that help him maintain his equilibrium. So there's another layer to that combination of the Terrell crater. And because Terrell's work deals specifically with light and capturing light in a space to create a mood and atmosphere that is unavailable in most other times and places. So to have that combination of religion and light, knowing what it means to Kanye beyond just religion, but this is how he maintains who he is and his identity.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really beautiful secondary layer to everything.
Yeah, and I'm excited to see people's reaction to it because, like I said, it's not a traditional, you know, like movie to where I think, you know, years later, we're still trying to decipher the Runaway movie and assigning meaning from specific parts to Kanye's life and where he was at the time. But that's really easy to do, I think, when it is a movie with like a traditional story, because you can see what someone's expressing. Like, you can apply, like, oh, this part of the story applies to this part of his life story, like, obviously. It's much tougher with something experimental like this, where you're just getting, like, a bunch of images and ideas, and I don't know, it's strange. Like, there are so many random parts in the movie, because at some point it moves beyond the gospel choir, and Kanye does this, like, fucking awesome remix of Streetlights, where he's sitting in the crater and it's like, it's just a cool blue lighting and someone's playing an organ and he's singing Streetlights and it's like, it's fucking amazing. I hope everyone gets to see it. And then at the very end, there's like a baby sitting in his mother's arms. If it was just a movie, like, you'd be like, okay, I can assign this to that. But this is like so many different ideas being expressed at once, like an amalgamation of ideas and like a bunch of beautiful shots, but also very just like, it's kind of confusing and you're not really sure what I'm really interested to see what people will think about it.
Yeah. I mean, they said October is the release. So hopefully within the next couple weeks, everybody will be able to watch it. We'll be able to do another podcast about it.
Yeah.
I'll be like, now I've seen it.
We'll definitely need to do that.
Awesome. Anything else from the night, like when it was over?
The movie ended and I saw Kanye leave when there were like 10 minutes left, which was surprising because he never said like goodbye. But he just skipped out at one point, so when it ended, lights went up and everyone scattered.
Huh. Okay. Yeah.
I will say that I had just missed, we were going out to the lobby and I was going to check out the merch table, and I guess they had just ended the merch table and there were a bunch of leftover sweaters and they had just like thrown them out to people and I just missed it.
So you didn't get anything?
No. I really thought about it, but I was kind of thinking like, if I'm going to buy anything, I'll buy it online and get the digital download and everything.
Did you buy it online?
I have not yet. I still haven't decided. It's just, you know, it's so expensive.
Yeah, it might be sold out soon.
Oh, well, then I'll just hear it when it comes out.
Wait, some of these. Yeah, it looks like they're sold out.
I'm sure Kanye's going to mail me a copy.
Or no, of the merch.
Of the merch too.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's basically it.
Well, sounds like a great evening.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I mean, it's hard for me to fully describe it, and maybe I'm making it sound boring, but like, it was really incredible, like, to be one of a few thousand people to experience something like that in Kanye's hometown city and to see just how at peace he felt. Like, it was amazing.
I like to, like, you're one of only a few thousand people in the entire world that have heard this album now.
Yeah, I again, like, didn't really hear it, and I assume it's not finished. But the unfinished parts I'm hearing, like, I can't wait to talk about it on the show, and I can't wait for everyone to hear it.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Well, hopefully we get the album in just a few hours and then can start in on our newest season and all the analysis.
Man, it's going to be crazy.
It's going to be a phenomenal time.
All right. But until we get to that point, stay wave, everybody.
Keep it loopy.
And they ask me, they ask me, they ask me, I tell them, raise your glasses, your glasses, your glasses to the sky. This is the last call for alcohol. For